Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Exodus chapter 37, starting in verse 1, and it reads like this. It says, Bezalel, there we go. I've read it before. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. He overlaid it with pure gold inside and out and made a gold molding all around it. He cast four gold rings for it, and it's 4 feet, two rings on one side and two rings on the other. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark for carrying the ark. He made a mercy seat of pure gold, 45 inches long and 27 inches wide. He made two cherubim of gold, and he made them hammered work with the two ends of the mercy seat. One cherubim at one end and one cherubim at the other. A cherubim's like an angel. And at the other end, and at each end, he made a cherub of one piece with the mercy seat. And they had wings that were spread out, and they faced each other and covered the mercy seat with their wings. And the faces of the cherubim were looking toward the mercy seat. This is in the book of Exodus as the people of God are receiving instructions on how to now be the worshipers of God, and even more than that, the carriers of the presence of God. And they receive instruction on how to build what would become the Ark of the Covenant. And they go and they create this box that has poles for carrying it. And it has intricate detail. And it is at this place, it is at this box that then would be taken behind a veil that was taken behind a veil. And God tells them, this is the place where I will meet you. This is the place where my glory will rest. I want to talk to us today about meeting the glory. There is a place where they would go to meet the glory of God. His glory rested wherever the Ark of the Covenant was. Wherever the Ark was, that is the place where the glory of God would come, where he would come and dwell in that place. And there were instructions and there were rules and there was information about how they were to enter into where the Ark sat. And there was information and there was custom about how they were to approach and handle the Ark of the Covenant, because it was the place where they went to meet his glory. God, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your presence. Help us be people who meet your glory, God. His glory met them at a box, a large, heavy box. I don't know if you've ever moved anything large and awkward and heavy before. They say that you can tell the true test of your friends by who shows up when you need to move large, heavy, awkward things. We had a friend one time, we were moving, and we were like, hey, we're moving next week, and we could use some people to help us move. And honest to God, they were like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll help send some money to hire a truck if you want. And I was like, noted, that is where our friendship stands. Apparently that is the line of the depth of our friendship, is carrying heavy, awkward things from one location to another, because it is never enjoyable. If you are married to another person, you know that the greatest test of your relationship comes when it is time to move heavy, awkward stuff from one part of your home to another part of your home, because one of you doesn't know how to hold it right, and the other one doesn't know how to pivot properly through the door frames. Nothing is ever more challenged than when you're carrying heavy, awkward things. Phil and I recently were doing a home DIY project. I know. And it required a very heavy, very awkward piece of machinery, not just to come into our home, but to go to the second story of our home where the actual renovation was happening. He apparently knew this information when he said to me, hey, on Friday and Saturday, I think we're going to do this project. But he comes home with this very heavy, awkward piece of machinery, and it's just me and him. And I'm like, what are we doing here? What do we got going on? And he's like, we just got to get this upstairs. Get this where? It's as tall as I am. Which I understand isn't very complicated, but still, honest to God, we pick it up, we start moving it, we're doing all the stuff, we get ready to go up the stairs, and Phil stops and he looks at me and he goes, I just want you to know right now, I love you. I'm grateful for the day that I married you, and I want to apologize right now for anything that might happen over the next 5 minutes. Just ahead of time, I want to get my apology out in front. And I was like, we've done this task a time or two before in the last 13 years. But we successfully moved the box to the top of the stairs. This is what is getting ready to happen, is that this box is the place where the presence of God meets them. But several generations later, they're no longer wandering around in the desert. They're no longer following the cloud by day and the fire by night. They have come and they have settled in a place. They've asked God for a king. But in the midst of all of this and the fighting with their enemies, the thing that is the place where the presence of God meets them, the Ark of the Covenant, is no longer housed in the central part of the community of the people of God. It had been captured by their enemies and taken away. But after it was captured by their enemies and taken away, they found out that this is the place where the presence, where the glory of God rests. And it began wreaking havoc on the enemies of the people of God. So they put it on a cart and just basically shipped it down the road and were like, good luck, we don't want this anymore. And it began, and it came to a place where it was resting on the outskirts of the perimeters of the place of the people of God. And Saul is king, and then Saul is no longer king, and David rises as king, and David has in him a desire, a hunger to be a people of the presence of God. And he says, I know that the Ark of the Covenant is the place where the glory of God rests. And so he tells his men, we're going to go to the place where the glory of God is. We're going to find it and we're going to bring it back so that it can rest in the central part of who we are. So that it's central to who we are is people who come and meet with the glory of God. We read about this in 2 Samuel. If you have your Bible and you want to turn, we're going to go to 2 Samuel starting in chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and starting in verse 1, it said, David again assembled all the fit young men. Say, fit young men. That's an important detail. It means they were able-bodied and capable in Israel. 30,000 of them, and he had a lot of them. He and all of his troops set out to bring the Ark of God from Bethel, Judah, to the ark that bears the name. The name of the Lord of armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. That's the place where his glory is and where they meet his glory. And they brought it with the ark of God from Abinadab's house. I'm so sorry, I skipped a verse. They set the ark of God on a new cart and they transported it from Abinadab's house. So they take this cart, this ark, and they put it on a new cart and they begin to transport it from Abinadab's house where it was, which was on the hill, to an Uzzah and Aho, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the cart. And they brought it with the ark of God from Abinadab's house on the hill. Ahio walked in front of the ark, and David and the whole house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all kinds of fir and wood, instruments and tambourines and cymbals. You have to picture this, that they have gone up to Abinadab's house where the ark has just been left after it was shipped back. And they go and they find the place where the glory will meet them, and they take the ark and they put it on a new cart, and then they begin to take it back to where they want it to go. And David and all of his friends are out in front of the cart. They're dancing and singing and playing their instruments. They are making a parade out of the place where the glory of God meets them. They are going in front of it like they think it's already done. They're going in front of it, making a scene like they have nailed this thing and they are bringing it home. They're rejoicing because they found the Ark of the Covenant that has been abandoned on the outskirts of the community, and they are dancing and singing before it. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out to the Ark of God and he took hold of it because the oxen had stumbled. And the Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and God struck him dead on the spot for his irreverence. And he died there next to the ark of God. And David was angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. Have you ever felt like you went from dancing and singing on the mountaintop to just crashing to the bottom of the valley in an instant? David thinks that he has just done one of the greatest things that his kingdom will be marked for, that he has gone and got the presence of God. He is deep in rejoicing and he is deep in celebration. He is deep in leading the people back in praise. He is living on his mountaintop moment. And while David is out there dancing and singing before the Lord, the ox stumbles, and because the presence of God is on a cart, Uzzah reaches up and he goes to stabilize it, but he forgot that this is the place where the glory of God resides. You don't just touch it any kind of way you want to touch it, and you don't just come up to it any kind of way you want to come up to it. You don't just get to approach it in the same way that you approach everything else that you've put on a cart before in your life. And when he touches it, God's anger burns against him because of his irreverence for the place where God meets them. And Uzzah is struck dead. And in an instant, David goes from rejoicing to anger. He moves places. It can be destabilizing to move emotions so quickly. To go, just a moment ago, I thought I was winning. Just a minute ago, God, I thought I was doing what was right before you. Just a moment ago, I thought we were coming in singing and rejoicing, and now I'm standing here and I'm angry and I'm broken and I'm confused and I'm hurting. David slides from the place of rejoicing into the place of anger. So David was angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and so he named that place Outburst Against Uzzah, or Perez Uzzah, as it is today. David feared the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? And so he was not willing to bring the ark into the city of David, but instead he diverted it to the house of Obed-Edom in Gath. And the ark of the Lord remained in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his whole family, because the place where you meet the glory is the place where his blessing moves from. There, it can't help but happen that when God's presence is in a place, that his blessing begins to move through that place as well. It can't help but be that when you meet with the glory of God, that the goodness of God begins to flow through that glory as well. And even though Obed-Edom didn't go searching for the glory, and even though Obed-Edom just seemed like a bystander in what was happening, Obed-Edom was at his own farm, having his own day, minded his own business, tending his own field, and somebody else is having a situation over here. And because somebody else's situation was going on, they diverted their plans. Can I say how grateful I am for the times that someone else's plans have been diverted in life? How many times it has benefited me that God rerouted somebody else's plans? How many times I'm grateful that God diverted the plans that I had set for myself and said, I have another direction and I have another path and I have another way. And on the other side of this, I have somebody who needs to meet with the glory of God. Obed-Edom didn't know what was coming his way that day, but what was coming his way was the place where you meet with God. For 3 months, because they've gone to get the ark. See, they go to get the ark and they set out to do what's a good thing. They desire a good thing. David's heart is that central to his kingdom would be the place where we meet with the glory. David's heart is to return it so that it's not just abandoned somewhere on the outskirts, but it is central to everything that they do. He desires to be a people of the presence. And so he gets everyone together and he goes out with it. But there can be a danger in desiring things that you have not been trained how to handle. We desire things that we don't know how to handle if we get hold of them. I know that you desire influence, but what will you do with it? I know that you desire platform, and I know that you desire those to listen to you, and I know that you desire those that will follow you, but have you been trained how to handle them if you have them? Have you been trained what to do with the influence if it's given to you? Have you been trained what to do when the eyes start looking at you? Have you been trained how to divert the light when the light starts shining on you? The question is not always, are your desires after the right thing? It's, are we trained what to do with them when we get them? And David desired something good, but he wasn't trained what to do with it. It's not just inconvenient when one generation doesn't train down the things of God to the next generation. It's dangerous. It's dangerous when we don't train our children how to enter the presence of God. It's dangerous when we don't teach our young people how to memorize scripture and bury it in their heart. It's dangerous when we don't teach them how to turn to prayer instead of worry and anxiety when the enemy comes against us. It's not just inconvenient when we don't look behind us and say, one generation must praise your works to the next generation. It's dangerous when we don't train the next generation what to do with and how to handle the things of God. They weren't trained what to do with the place where you go to meet the glory. And it cost Uzzah his life. David marks the place where you meet God's glory over at Obed-Edom's house. When he parks it over there at Obed-Edom's house, sits there for 3 months in Obed-Edom's house, the blessing of God is there. It starts flourishing in that place. It starts multiplying in that place. There's peace when you walk on the property as crops are doubling, as flocks are healthy, his family is thriving. They're all in good health. His neighbors think he's the best guy around. The blessing of God is just permeating through everything that belongs to Obed-Edom. And word gets back to David. And so when pick it up in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 12, it says, it was reported to King David, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's family and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and had the ark of God brought up from Obed-Edom's house to the city of David with rejoicing. When those carrying the ark of the Lord advanced six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. Whoa, 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 whoa. This time it said those who were carrying the ark of the covenant. See, last time they went to get the ark, they found a cart that they could make, and they put it up on a cart that they could drag behind them, that they could attach a beast of burden to, and they could just do their dancing and their rejoicing in front of it. But someone else was carrying the weight of the load of the place where we go to meet the glory. But it says this time, between when they left that thing with Obed-Edom and between when they came back 3 months later, David and his men must have done some studying and said, we're not going up there and doing again what happened last time. It seems that there is a way that God likes for his presence to be approached. It seems that there is a way that God likes for his glory to be handled. It seems that there is a specific way that when people come and encounter and meet with the glory, that God wants that thing handled. And so we're not coming back with a cart again this time. Instead, we're going back and we're making sure that we still have some fit, young, capable, well-bodied men with us. But instead of putting it up on a cart and sending the animal out with it, which is exactly what the Philistines did with it, we're going to handle the presence of God like this is the presence of God that he has made us responsible for. And those poles that are in place, we're going to get up underneath those poles and we are going to carry the weight of the presence of God. We're going to move, and with every step, we're going to feel the weight of all that acacia wood. With every step, we're going to feel the weight of all of the gold that's laid on it. With every step, we're going to feel the weight of the tablets that are stored on the inside of it. With every step, we're going to feel the weight of Aaron's rod that budded, that's carried on the inside, reminding us of where we came from. It is important that the presence of God cannot be approached lightly. The presence of God and his glory is not something that we just walk up on. His glory is not something to be treated casually. His glory is not something that is comfortable or convenient. His glory is something that need carriers who are willing to get up underneath it. Carriers who are willing to stand under the weight of the glory. His glory has some weight to it. Glory is the word kabod. And the word kabod can be translated as weight or heaviness. When his glory moves into a place, when his glory comes into your life, when his glory rests in that place, there is a weight to his glory. There is a weight to the presence of God. There is a heaviness that sits on the presence of the people who are people of the glory, who say, God, I want to meet with you in your glory. God, I want to meet with you in the most holy place. God, I want to come in and be where you are. God, I want to linger in your presence. God, I want to know your glory more and more. God, I want to know your glory in greater depths. God, I want to know your glory to greater depths, to greater heights, to greater weights, to greater details. God, I want to sit at your feet and feel the weight of your glory. There's a weight to glory. And this is my concern. My concern is that we've become so comfortable just encountering the presence of God and leaving it. That we're satisfied with an experience in his presence and leaving it. That we're happy to have a parade that moves through town about his glory and about his presence. As long as it's going up there, and as long as I'm not too inconvenienced, as long as I can dance in front of the cart, but I don't want to have to put the weight of his glory on me. I don't want to have to be somebody who gets underneath it. I don't want to be a person who actually has to hold on to what it means to be formed by and transformed by, that there are parts of me that have been built up that are stronger because I've been carrying the glory. That there are parts of me that have moved and have shifted because I've spent so much time under the weight of his glory. That when you carry something for a long time, it changes the way that you walk. And it changes the way that you move. It changes the way that you stand. It changes the way you come in when you've been carrying the weight of his glory. And we can't be satisfied with just coming to his presence and leaving it. We can't be satisfied with being near his presence, seeing his glory, but never carrying it. To just going to places where it seems like his glory might be here, but I just come in and I just go out because I've gotten so comfortable with the access to his glory. God wasn't looking for people to parade his glory around. And he's not looking for people who just want to come and see if his glory's still there. He's looking for carriers of his glory. He's looking for those who say, I'm willing to hold the weight of this thing. And I'm willing to carry it into some place where somebody hasn't felt it yet. I'm willing to carry it somewhere where no one has experienced it yet. But his glory's not in a box anymore. We don't go to meet his glory any longer behind a veil and held in a gold-covered box where only certain people with certain restrictions can come to meet with his glory. When Jesus came and they buried him in the tomb, it says that the veil was torn and that his glory began to move, that his glory became accessible, that his glory became available to everyone. How are we carriers of his glory when there aren't poles and boxes and places for us to move it to anymore? How are we carriers of his glory still? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, the Son, meaning Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. They used to go to a box, to the Ark of the Covenant, between the two cherubim at the mercy seat, and that was the place to meet God's glory. But then Jesus came down. He laid aside his godness. He wrapped himself in flesh. He walked among us and he talked among us and he hungered like we hunger and he longed like we long, except for that he lived without sin. And the writer of Hebrews says, you want to know what the glory looks like? It looks like Jesus. You want to know where to go to find the glory now? It's not in a box anymore, and it's not in a place anymore. It's in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the exact radiance of God's glory, the reflection of the glory that is manifest in heaven, the reflection of the glory that dwelled in the garden, the reflection of the glory that got contained to a seat above a box when Jesus stepped out of eternity and trapped himself in time and space. It says this is what the glory of God is. It's the person of Jesus. You want to be a carrier of the glory? Be a person who runs to Jesus. You want to be a carrier of the glory? Every believer who says, I've asked Jesus to come into my life and to be Lord of my life, and I walk under that weight of being a carrier of his glory. I don't have to run to a tent to meet the glory anymore. I don't have to get to a service on a Sunday to meet the glory anymore. I don't have to say things in a certain way to meet the glory anymore. I just have to find myself at the feet of Jesus. And when I find myself at the feet of Jesus, I'm looking at the radiant glory of God in all of his splendor and in all of his wonder. And where his glory is, his blessing is. Jesus, we want to meet with you. Jesus, we want to meet with you. Every person that says, I want to be a carrier of the glory. I want to be a person that meets with Jesus. Just lift your hands straight in the air. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we're people of your presence, Jesus. We're people of your glory, Jesus. We want to meet you in glory. Jesus, the word that holds it all together, the glory of God. All things are in you, and all things are from you, and all things are to you. Glory. We sing glory and honor to you, Jesus. Jesus, won't you meet us here? I thank you that we meet the person of Jesus in this place. I speak glory.